Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show and podcast, streaming on BBS from California and also syndicating to over 100 stations globally, including iHeart and many, many others, and the new Podopolo platform as well, a social interactive podcasting platform. I'm your show host, Yvonne E.L. Silver, and my mission is uplifting the spirit of humanity. And I do that by showcasing amazing women who've risen from typically tragedy to triumph and are now doing incredible things out in the world worthy of showcasing. So my story myself is also from rising from tragedy to triumph. However, this interview is about my beautiful guest, Karen McGregor, who I'll introduce in just a moment. So, as a female founder and entrepreneur, a certified executive coach and chartered HR professional, myself as well, I've helped thousands of people find excellent career choices, and especially in the last 10 years, dedicated to leaders, more senior women, helping them excel in their leadership through mentorship and especially through coaching. And confidence is a very intriguing topic that I've chosen to specialize in. So today, that's who I work with, entrepreneurs and leaders who are ready to engage, have a vision, have a flourish, a desire to flourish in business, and need more ideal clients and need more sales. So we can have sustainable businesses that are fun, and Karen's going to talk more about that, and we can have balance as female entrepreneurs and be excellent role models for our children. And I know that Matthew is going to come up, and maybe both your kids. So I'm delighted to introduce today international speaker and trainer Karen McGregor, who helps high-achieving professionals and entrepreneurs create real and lasting change. And she's leveraging ancient wisdom teachings of the Tao. Karen is bringing realistic strategies now to modern professionals that help them achieve a number of things. And I found a lot of information on her new website. It's all to do with having more calm and less chaos, more productivity and less stress, a simple map to mindfulness, increasing positive influence and leadership from the inside out. What fascinating topics. And if you haven't seen her TEDx talk, highly encourage you to look at that, because over a million people have already looked at that, called How to Find Fulfillment, The Secret to Happiness. Karen is inspirational. I first saw her talk several years ago and was quite inspired, went to sign up for one of her programs as well. She's an inspirational speaker, motivating leaders, and she's also spoken on stages with Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, John Gray, as well as at the Evolutionary Business Council annual retreat, which is a retreat of global transformational leaders, and many, many, many more stages. So welcome, Karen. You are now a chaos to calm expert and strategist, mastering the inner mystic with the outer activist and supporting lasting change from the inside out. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Yvonne, for having me here.
You're very welcome. I'm honored. I know that you have several things on the go, so we can start wherever you would like to start. We can start with talking a little bit more about your story of rising from tragedy to triumph. We can also talk about some of the newest things that you're doing with your new book. Where would you like to start?
Well, whenever anybody listens, I always think, you know, what is in it for all the listeners? So I want to make sure I provide lots of value for you. But I agree. I think our stories inform the value that we offer other people. And so, yeah, I think it's important. There's two stories in particular. One was my what I would say my core transformation when I was an entrepreneur, and I know a lot of people listening are leaders, entrepreneurs, and this is very common for a lot of us going through divorce. But it was, Yvonne, it was a very powerful moment in which I realized, when my husband's moving truck was backing away, that this was real, that my life was going to change forever, and that my two children, who were very young at the time, that their lives would also be permanently transformed. of course, at that time, my thinking was completely negative, like everything bad was going to happen, right? That there couldn't possibly any good from that. But I do remember the lawyers telling me that, you know, divorce lawyers, that I should go back and get what they called a real job. Mm-hmm. And I think for many of us, we're told to be sensible, to be reasonable, look at our situation and really not follow our dreams, but rather follow a path of certainty. And I think that's what I want to share with women today too. I know you do such a beautiful job with confidence, Yvonne, and really helping women to rise in their confidence. I think that we really have to look at this whole aspect of certainty now that we're in COVID and so forth. How do we actually look at certainty? And so back then, you know, people scared me. The lawyers scared me and, you know, go back. Well, fortunately, around that same time, I got an invitation to speak in front of thousands of people, in fact. And a lot of the people coming to speak were very, very well known. So again, I felt uncertain about it, but I went and I did this talk. And I remember just really to be my best, to do my best. But the one thing that was missing was the ability to look at speaking and messaging as a business. And so what I did was I tried to be really, really strong as a speaker on stage and keep up with what they called the big boys, you know, which was an illusion as well, as we know. but one that's still alive and thriving, unfortunately. And so when I was there on stage and felt that I had done such a good job, the people came and gave me hugs. They came and, you know, they said, wow, what a beautiful talk. But it didn't actually support me to grow my business because I didn't really know how. Mm-hmm. I knew how to deliver a powerful message, but I didn't know how to take that powerful message and develop a business from it. So that was my breaking point, really, where there were 3,000 people and everybody loved my talk, but it did absolutely nothing to grow my business. And I was, you know, a single mom with bills to pay. So I was seriously thinking about going back and getting a job and listening to the lawyers. But you know, my soul just kept saying, no, just like keep going, find help. And that I always say that to everybody, whether you're an entrepreneur or professional, are you finding the help from someone who knows what they're doing, but also does it at a high level? So that's what I did, Yvonne. I started to seek out a whole bunch of different people, you know, to help me, to actually get to where I wanted to go. In a way that felt good to me. So not everybody sells or speaks in ways, you know, that resonate with us. So I learned, and this is one thing for everybody, this is a very important tool. You don't have to like everything that a person does. You don't even have to like them as a person to learn from them, to see, okay, I never thought of things that way. I never thought of it that way. And so when we put our ego aside and just humbly learn from people, it's been a huge secret to my success is just now finally, after all those years saying, I don't know, and other people know better than I do.
It's the universe answering the call.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was my very first introduction to my business, which I've had for 10 years, helping speakers and entrepreneurs to speak and sell on stage. Today, you know, when you talked about the book coming out in September, I just want to share with people that over the last few years, writing this book, really thinking about influence, the things that I teach are really important to be able to get a message out there clearly. But what I realized, Yvonne, was there's a whole other side to being influential, to helping support people to create And that side is, it comes from within. That side comes from our deeper, what I call our mystical selves. Right. And that really, that calling came from Italy, from Assisi. And I sat there in those beautiful churches. I'm not religious, but I do believe that there's energy in certain places. Mm-hmm. And they were just so, so basic, very plain, ornamental, like no fuss, just a very plain place where I just sat for hours and just really listened to what it was inside that wanted to come through. And and I came home Christmas time, nobody's there. I had infection like crazy in my teeth. My kids were with their dad in another country, Australia. And I could have felt sorry for myself. I could have said, man, you know, I just lost the who I thought was the love of my life for 9 years, and the sickness and my kids not being home at Christmas. And it was the greatest revelation that I had done the work that I talk about in the book to be that mystical self, because I was happy. And I think this is what you asked me about, you know, five different things that you would say leaders should know. And I think
you've mentioned the first one even already. I talked with a client of mine last week about this, who's in leadership. You know, they don't, your staff don't need to like you, but they do have to respect you.
Yes.
And if you treat them fairly, then you will have that respect. But you don't want to necessarily try to be best buddies with them, because then, you know, with all the change in the world, it very often becomes a very awkward conversation when you've crossed over that friendship line. And then all of a sudden, the week after, you're having to make a business restructuring decision, and their job is not, unfortunately, required any longer.
Yes.
So it's about respect. And one of the keys to building that respect and that trust, you know, I talk about it in my book too, is from Center for Creative Leadership did some excellent research. And they basically talked about competence, consistency, and caring. And those are the three C's that women in particular need to demonstrate as leaders to be able to build that trust and to be able to foster that following, especially of women. So it's really key to show up consistently so they know what they're dealing with. It's not this wild, emotional PMS lady that is the boss. Caring enough to listen and to acknowledge, yes, I heard you, and here's, because you spoke up, here's what we're going to do about that. So you're really acknowledging what they've said. And then also the competence piece is when you say you're going to do something, make sure you deliver it. So one of my favorite phrases in my book is as promised. So whenever you can insert that in, it's, you know, setting the expectation that you deliver on your promises, and it makes a huge difference. So
yes, that's
leadership.
It's so important to follow through. And getting just to circle back to the final story is that when we do the inner work, then and we actually experience true happiness. What I find is that as women, you know, we can quite easily, if we don't have that mystical side developed, we can get very quickly sucked into stories, into, you know, victimhood, into drama and chaos. And the thing is, it all starts with understanding the nature of the mind. And that's what I get into a lot in my book, is what are the thoughts that you're thinking, but not so much from, I know everybody talks about mindset, but really from a practice, almost like, you know, I talk about the Tao Te Ching, it's 4,000-year-old wisdom book that talks about, you know, what the practice of observing yourself, your thoughts, mm-hmm. right? And so often I think we get caught up in the story of what's happening in the office, or the story of an email, right? That we're triggered by, or the story of COVID. I mean, let's face it, the whole thing is one big story that we've created for ourselves. And every person with COVID has a different story. But we have to look at our story and say, is this a helpful story? And so in the Tao, you know, one of the key teachings is we look at what's in front of us, we acknowledge the challenge, but we don't get sucked into the chaos, the drama, the stress of the challenge. So, you know, my motto is just, you know, do it without drama, you know, do the things you need to do and just allow your dramatic mind to have the thoughts and then, but to release them.
Right.
We all have them. It's just a matter of how quickly you let them go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important part.
Piece. Mm-hmm. As you're speaking, I'm also thinking back to when I was in my last corporate role, which is, you know, 10 plus years ago now, before I went off to Royal Roads and got my executive coach certification. But the number of times that in career transition, because I was working for a global talent management firm as a VP at the time, and the amount of times that people would get so so stunned because something had been done to them. Their job had now been eliminated. They hadn't been involved in the decision, and they were now being shocked by this new piece of news and how quickly some people bounced back, whereas others just got stuck in it for like 6 months. And yeah, their ability to manage change was not a strength. And then there were others who had been through a lot of change already and learned to navigate those waters and look at it as an opportunity and say, well, what's next? You know, that door's now closed, so what's coming up? What is in my future that is even more beautiful? Because you and I know that the universe wants to say yes. It wants us to do well. And yet there are lessons along the way that we have to learn in order to be able to take that next step. And we don't always get it in the moment, but...
Yeah. Definitely. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, I feel like those moments in which, you know, all hell breaks loose, it can be very easy, very, very easy for us to get into the drama of the moment. But by removing ourselves and seeing that drama, again, it you know, if people say to me, well, why does this continually happen? Why do I keep getting sucked in? There's two things. I think one is practice. Mm-hmm. We have to practice not believing your thoughts, not getting caught up in the thought and not identifying yourself with a negative thought or with a whatever it is, right? Unhelpful thought. I think that's really, really important. And the other thing is the peacefulness. Like you said, Yvonne, when we actually allow those thoughts to not become part of us, that peacefulness creates the next step. So instead of getting caught in, oh God, not again, you're actually creating enough space in your head space to start to create something new. And that's where the universe says, okay, you're doing what you need to do to still your mind, to create the space for something new. But most of us never ever get there, which is sad. But I think the people listening right now on your podcast, they're different. You are different just by virtue of listening to this wonderful show that mm-hmm. Ivana has here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think most of my audience have heard me talk about my daily ritual and, you know, practice of having quiet time. You know, first thing, as soon as I get up, well, even it starts before I get up, even while I'm laying in bed. But first thing when I get up, it's quiet time in my house. It's before anybody else gets up. So I'm fueling up myself before the rest of the house gets up and creating that space to be able to really pick out, you know, what are the top three things today that are going to make the most impact, that are going to move me forwards the furthest, and really listening within. I mean, there's other elements, you know, I think Natalie Ledwell would be, you know, pleased to hear that, you know, mind movies is part of my morning ritual as well.
Yes.
But when we, you know, when I first start working with a client, that's typically where we have to start anyway, is to create space to be able to do work together. It's like going into your closet in the morning, it's jam-packed, you can't even see what you've got to wear, And unless you start paring down, taking out the things that don't fit, not the right color, out of style, and then you can actually see, because you've got space around each item to see what you can do to work with it. And the same thing goes for the mind. So I was thinking that when you talked about more calm and less chaos and being more productive and less stressed, that there was going to be some serious mindfulness work in that. I'm curious, how did the book get started, by the way? What do you remember, you know, when it actually, the idea emerged for you?
Yeah, so it was 3 years ago. And during that time, I was really feeling that really amazing clients of mine were doing wonderful things. And I noticed, you know, why do some people have the same training but get very different results? Right. And so I understood that a big part of it, of course, is following a system and being able to support yourself to get to where you want to go in your business and professional life by thinking those things through and following through on that. But what I realized at that time was there's deeper other reasons deep within us of why we choose. As an example, I have four power archetypes. I'll just talk briefly about them, but why we choose to not follow through, or why we choose to follow through, but it's on something that we ultimately feel trapped by or don't care about, or we start to change our identity. Is this really who I am? Do I really want this thing that I'm chasing after?
Mm-hmm.
No. And so I started to develop four different archetypes of power that we as women and men, that we actually use every day. And if we're not careful, we can get into the shadow aspect of our power archetype. So, yeah, so just really briefly, just to share with people, maybe if you can identify yourself in this archetype. You know, the first one, I like to always start with one that I'm most familiar with, you know, because I laugh at myself all the time.
Armadillo?
No, actually I have armadillo. You will see there's two that'll be primary for you. And then two that will, you'll see yourself a little bit, but not as much. And I always say when I start identifying them, make sure you remember you have all four, but you'll go to certain ones when you're stressed.
Right.
Because when you were a kid, you tried to survive things that were uncomfortable, sometimes traumatic to you, and have your needs met in those not so healthy ways. If you figure out that you can't get them met in healthy ways, you'll go to unhealthy ways.
Right.
And so that's what we all do as kids. But then as adults, we continue that. It just maybe looks a little different, but it's the same power pattern. So the first one is the boar.
Mm-hmm.
And the boar is one that is the determined, focused individual, likes structure and steps and gets from A to B as quickly as they can. They have, you know, a lot of times great use of their time, highly productive, you know, goal-oriented. And I laugh because, you know, I've had all of these things in my space for a very long time, so I'm familiar with them. And then, you know, the shadow side of a boar can be that they can be what I call boorish, which is they can be a little bit too forceful, a little bit too, you know, pushing instead of what I call, there's a pendulum, there's pushing and there's pulling away,
yep.
But we want to be in the middle.
Right.
So ideally our energy is always aligned in the middle. So boars do this, they push. So they push in conversation or they push in, you know, their goals. And like you said, Yvonne, with the universe, you're not going to get there any faster by trying to push. And if you do, you might just find out it's not really what you wanted in the first place.
That was me about 10 years ago, by the way.
Was it? Yes, yeah.
Before I was enlightened.
Right? When we start to recognize that and make the shift. And so whenever a boar is stressed, rather than go with the flow, they're going to make a plan, which is fine. We all need a plan. But the boars will make a plan and then overwork themselves. They'll be the workaholic. They'll want to get so much done because they can't sit with themselves, inside themselves, and just allow, like you said, stillness, space, that kind of thing. They could use a little more of the butterfly. So the butterfly archetype is very present, very welcoming. We love the butterfly. People are attracted to the beauty of the butterfly, beauty on the inside and often on the outside. They generally tend to be just beautiful, heartfelt, charismatic in a gentle way. Boars charismatic, but in a more forceful way. Butterflies just draw people to them. And so they generally tend to have a lot of flow in their life, a lot of easefulness, which is wonderful. What is often their shadow is this part of them that doesn't follow through, that lands like a butterfly. If you think about a butterfly, it lands and then it takes off into some other area. So they can get easily distracted. They can have bright, shiny object syndrome. Mm-hmm. One day they're totally focused on one thing. I'm going for this. And then 2 weeks later, you find out that they're doing something else. And again, this is all fine unless it becomes a pattern. And it's a way to escape from commitment. So butterflies may not ever want to get married, as an example, not to say that marriage is the be all and end all, but it can be a form of commitment for some people that can cause problems, or even committed to a partner, committed to your business, committed to a goal. So commitment can be the shadow side for a butterfly. Mm-hmm. They don't get grounded enough to actually see something through.
Right.
Yeah. And that hurt from way back with a butterfly is simply that they feel like in their early years, they feel like something happened that was completely unexpected. So they were blindsided by it. Right. Often it's the parents, they could have got divorced, whatever, physical violence, emotional violence, but something that caught them off guard and they just decided, you know what, I'm not going to commit. I'm not going to. So these are all things. These are two. Mm-hmm. There's the armadillo. Very quickly, the armadillo is the animal that has this thick shell. So basically, much like a turtle, when they feel threatened or when they feel uncomfortable, they're going to withdraw. And armadillos, for instance, on social media, they'll say, "I'm taking a break from all you morons." They can be a little judgmental. They're highly intellectual. They're highly sensitive people. They generally tend to be like being alone anyways. But the problem is that, Yvonne, this is what I'm so passionate about in my book, The Tao of Influence, is if we're going to make an impact, if we're going to actually influence in a bigger way, like some of the world's bigger problems, we can't be withdrawing from society. We cannot be the ones that say, I'm just going to watch. And one of my friends, actually, very smart judge, he was saying, this may be the very first time in history where people will look back at our group and say they knew what was happening and they did nothing about it. Mm-hmm. And that really scares me, that we see things happening right now and there's not enough, not fast enough. And I think the armadillos, we all need to be participants. To change some things that really, really need changing. So I think that's why I wrote the book too. When you asked me why I wrote the book, this is a long answer, is I just feel this greater and greater calling to help people be aware we all are in this together. And this, we are not going to survive if we keep on the old ways of being. So COVID is an opportunity for us to you know, to reevaluate. And on the final note, you know, we have the cockatoo. Cockatoo is the one that brings all the relationship people together, and they love, you know, they love being together, connecting. They love social gatherings. They love to, if you need to meet someone or know someone or get connected to someone, they're the ones that know people. They have a wide network.
Right.
But they tend to be, you know, as young people, if they're hurt at an early age, they tend to still enjoy that and they're very good at it, but they look for opportunities to be almost like the victim, like, oh, he or she didn't talk enough to me, or, you know, I wasn't seen in this scenario in the boardroom. And I always say to people, you know, it's very easy to get sucked being, I'm not seen, I'm not valued. But leaders and I feel like influencers, we need to let that go. Even if it's true, even if someone dismissed you, okay, well, whatever. It's true. You can deal with it how you want. But if you hang on to the story, it doesn't help anyone. So I think the whole point of those 3 years of, you know, looking into what is the name, these four archetypes have really helped me to help other people see themselves in stress, times of, you know, like COVID, where there's maybe financial stress, there's identity stress, there's a lot of things going on. So yeah, that's a long answer to your question. My apologies.
Well, no, this is an interesting interview. I mean, it's all fascinating. As you're talking, I'm also associating some of those four character types with, as you are probably aware from, you know, reading some of my postings too, recently taking some training with personality science. And there's a lot of tools, you know, psychology-based tools out there, you know, DISC and Myers-Briggs and MBTI, and a lot of things that divide people into categories of four. You know, this goes back to Hippocrates and the, you know, the four types of medicine that he was able to administer with different types, and clearly there was different needs. And then the personality science work that I've dug into recently, being based on partly on the ability to influence, but very much more on the science of buying and why do people make buying decisions in certain fashions. And so as you were talking, I'm going, oh, that sounds a little bit like an action person or a blueprint person or a nurturer or a knowledge person. And yet there are some differences too. So when you put those titles, those categories together, was it more psychology based or how did they evolve? I'm curious now.
Yeah, you know, for me it was about the whole concept of trying to help people to release their thoughts. And I thought to myself, you know, there's a lot of Buddhist practices, there's a lot of Taoist practices that are beautiful, but because I'm very practical and I understand the business world, I thought, how can I help people to release their thoughts easier and be more aware of them? And so I thought, okay, well, what are some of the ways that we use our power or abdicate our power, either, like I said, you force or you withdraw? And so these animal archetypes came to me very easily. And then I thought, okay, well, let's test these out with some people to see if they resonate. And immediately people were saying, oh, yes, yes, that's definitely me, you know. And so it just kind of took off from there, that I can help people easier if they see the types of thoughts they have in right. particular situations.
Yeah.
So like with COVID, that's something I'm still going to do a whole YouTube video on, is, and I have a YouTube channel, Karen McGregor, is the four different types of people during COVID, the four power archetypes during COVID, how do we respond to this global pandemic? How do we generally tend to respond?
Right.
And it's very, very, very interesting. Even if we just take a snapshot of social media alone, how are we responding on social media? Yeah, it's fascinating to watch our archetypes either shine and help people or cause more chaos.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, one of the 40 different words and word concepts in my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is about that topic, is about responding and choosing how you want to respond versus reacting. And so having the awareness that I know in the past, this is what's happened when I've reacted to things. Therefore, I need to create a power pause to be able to catch my thoughts, collect myself, and just have, you know, three sentences prepared ahead of time to say, you know what, that's a really important point. I'd like to think about it some more and get back to you. And you stop the conversation and you give it a pause and then you collect your thoughts and then you come back. Especially when I'm working with women, we tend to be overly emotional and get immersed in the issue and then dive down a rabbit hole and we don't do our credibility justice. We wreck it. Exactly. So if we can actually take a power pause, it makes a huge difference. So it is, isn't it, about responding and choosing how to respond, especially under stress.
Yes. And to, you know, really from the mystic side, we can see that people just like us have their own story, their own way of seeing things. And that if we can just see that we are in a very long movie, really we are, we can choose how we respond. And what I love about what you do, Yvonne, is you help give women the words to respond, but without also the development of this is really not what I would call reality, right? We are always projecting what we think we see, what we think we hear. And that takes a lot of discipline. So that's where I felt, you know, the power archetypes were helpful, because it is a discipline to remove yourself and see all these characters are playing into your field, you know?
Well, I'm also chuckling for two other reasons. One, because I have a butterfly tattooed on my back. And I can definitely relate to some of those things. And you know, that was one reason why I was especially proud that my, you know, after 2 years that my book got published and got to bestseller overnight, because it was for me a massive project. And it was about actually getting it finished. Partly because I spoke at one of the same conferences you did at the One Woman Summit in Edmonton. So there's 500 women in the audience, and I've stood up and said, you know, my book is coming out. So now I'm even more committed. And I had 85 book sales and I didn't even have the book there. And so it was like, okay, I have to deliver, because I'm, you know, people have paid me for this. I mean, there's absolutely no going back, you know? So it's interesting to see that piece in the context of, as you said, about commitment. You know, who am I committing to? Am I committing to something because it's to deliver for someone else, or am I committing to it because it's in support of my needs?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's another great perspective too, is looking at why we do the things that we do.
Right. Really,
it's important.
Yeah. The other thing is, as an interviewer, I mean, in my HR career, you know, 20 plus years of that, I interviewed and hired about 6,000 people, and you would be probably not surprised at how many people said, oh, you know, that was a fantastic interview. The last interviewer, they asked me, you know, what was going to be my favorite animal, or what was my animal type? And at the time I was like, okay, so what is that telling the interviewer? I don't get it. I mean, my interviews were more behavioral based on real situations and what you did in that actual situation, not about, you know, picking an arbitrary, you know, I'm a cheater because. I'm a rabbit, you know. Well, what does that tell the interviewer? Yeah. That you are likely to be copulating in the bathroom? I don't know, right? So you've shared a number of lessons, and I usually try, excuse me, in my interviews to draw out at least five learning elements for the audience participants. So what else did you learn about yourself even as you were writing this book?
Oh, good question. I think getting back to the one story, I think the happiness piece, really understanding that true happiness is not external. I know we've heard that all the time. We hear it all the time. But once you actually experience it, once you have really bad, what I call bad, I mean, who knows what bad is, but, you know, things that would throw a lot of people off.
Right.
And you still have happiness. That's when you know that the practices you're doing are starting to work. And so I think that for me, if people read my book and get the support they need to actually have that sense of fulfillment, then they can go out and have a bigger, broader perspective of how can I help others. Because if we're so mired in our own stuff, it's very hard to go out and say, you know what, I'm going to support this initiative, you know? So I think that's important.
That's kind of leveraging
on your own mind. Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
There was a hiccup on the audio there for a moment.
Uh-huh.
Please continue with your thought.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I want to make sure I touch on all of these things. We talked about stillness, the importance of stillness.
Yeah.
But I think for most people, what we don't realize is, especially as boars, if we want to be productive people, you know, we're driven to be productive. The stillness actually creates space to not only be productive, but creative. So I think that's a second one. I'm still a big believer in mastering your message. And of course, you know, with Rock the Stage and Speaker Success Formula, I've spent 10 years, you know, really helping people to do that. I do believe if we're going to influence, if we're going to actually create impact, the message has to be powerful. So that's for me a really important one. Knowing your mind, you know, knowing that the nature of the mind will always be to suck you into some kind of story. And it's very important, the judging, the blaming, the criticism, you know, not feeling worthy, being hurt, all these things. If we are actually going to be significant influencers, not in the sense of influencing something so we can get what we want, that's not the new kind of influence. It is so that we can progressively improve humanity, improve consciousness, heighten the experience for all sentient beings, right? Mm-hmm. So I think if we have that drive, and I believe anybody listening to this has that, we have to remember, oh yeah, this is, everybody has this. The nature of the mind is to go there, and it's always going to be in the background, but it gets less as we have proper habits. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth is follow through. And I think you mentioned this earlier, Yvonne, that, you know, follow through is so important to building relationships, to creating influence. If we can't follow through, and this is generally sometimes butterflies and armadillos are the least likely. Boars and cockatoos usually follow through, but sometimes armadillos and butterflies, depending if they're in their shadow, they might have many different ways in which they don't follow through. So that's just something to look at. You know, if you find, you say, hey, let's go for coffee. Just don't say it. Don't say it if you're not going to do it, right? So just those little things. I know it sounds so innocent, But yet we do it all the time as human beings. We say things that we don't actually ever end up fully committing to. So that part I would say is important too.
Mm-hmm. Well, a little while ago I did switch things up, and I would say, you know, let's go for coffee, and then I would own it and I would take hold of it and book it. And then after a while it was like, nope, you know what? I think we'll just switch things up a little bit and I'll give somebody else the baton and let's see what happens. And I'd say, you know, here's my calendar link, go ahead and book into it. And half the time it wouldn't happen. It's like, okay, well, that's not really obviously going to be going anywhere. So, interesting. And I would carry on with the people that did want to talk and were serious about it.
And I love that you did that, because that's an example of light power, not shadow power. Because shadow would be you're chasing them, or you're like saying, yes, I'm going to book this. And no, you're just inviting, but you're not making a story about who booked and who didn't. And you know what I mean? So I think that's lovely. It's a great example of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you were speaking also about the you know, knowing your mind, I mean, you know, we all know about the little amygdala and always wanting to keep us safe. And so I think that's, you know, level one, and level two is, you know, the awareness part of knowing that there's actually a better way, as you describe in your book. And I love the fact that you've also brought in, you know, when I read Man's Search for Meaning, I mean, the piece about having a purpose bigger than yourself, you know, just resonated so deeply with me. And I'm glad that that was also woven in, because it's kind of like that, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the triangle, you know, unless you've got your own elements of survival all taken care of, you know, you cannot reach that pinnacle on the top of self-actualization unless you got the other pieces in place. And that is all part of that influence framework, isn't it?
It really is. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, because I talk about how the power, if we don't have our own personal power monitored and have healthy habits, then we can't be present. So that's the second P in influence. We cannot be present. And then we cannot, on top of that, have purpose that actually supports a wider global network than just ourselves or just our family. So it's very, very, like you said, it's very step by step. We can't miss a step or think that we can. It all starts at the foundation.
Yeah. So in this program that I'm going to be opening up in September, Six Intelligences program, there is a spiritual piece in there. So that's one of the intelligences. It's spiritual. And we're talking about the four levels of wealth. So money is just the first piece. And then there are three other levels. And so it's bringing in some interesting conversations and definitely connects back with some of what you've shared today. So it's great to see how this wisdom is all coming together. I mean, this is Words, Women, and Wisdom show. So
I love it.
Great. You're bringing your wisdom in the Tao of Influence. So I want to make sure that everyone knows, where do they get a copy and how do they find out more about you? Where do they go for that?
Wonderful. Well, if you go to KarenMcGregor.com, you can pre-order the book. It does come out September 15th, but with the pre-order right now, I'm actually gifting everyone who buys a copy of the book, not only with the four power archetypes and really seeing where you fit in, where your family fits in, your colleagues, etc. So you get that with the purchase of one book, but you also get an entire day with me where I'm going to support people in writing their book, talking about, you know, how to begin the writing process, also how to market the book, how to get an agent, a publisher, and ultimately how to sell the book, because that's very important to publishers and agents that we're able to sell. So I'm giving an overview and really having a wonderful in-depth details about my own journey, because I've written three books now, and have had all sorts of, from self-published to, you know, having this publisher and agent, and so I've gone through pretty much everything in the journey of writing, and so I'd like to gift that to people who want to pre-order the book. So You can go on Amazon, but you just wouldn't get all those extras. So, yeah.
So there's that's a specific date that's coming up, Karen?
Yeah, so that'll come up. That's coming up September 25th. And so anyone who pre-orders on Karen McGregor, McGregor, KarenMcGregor.com, just head over there. And then it's an unadvertised bonus of a full day with me. And so anyone who orders, we're going to start in early September telling them how to prepare for this special day. And it is recorded. So if anybody wants to join us later, they can do that.
Lovely. So I'm curious now, since I ordered way, way back, is that also going to be eligible? Are people that ordered way back in the first round also eligible for that?
Absolutely. So if anybody on the line, whether it was before or now, we have a database of people who've purchased, and yes, everybody gets to be in on that. So I welcome you, Yvonne, and anyone else who's going to be getting the Tao of Influence. It'll be a wonderful day.
Well, that's why I wanted to hold the date. Okay, September 25th. So this has been really inspiring to, you know, listen to what you've evolved in your wisdom and what you're bringing forward now to the world. I just watched your TED Talk again this morning. So if you haven't watched Karen's TED Talk, that was How to Find Fulfillment, The Secret to Happiness, which brings in some of these components that are also part of the book, all about power and purpose, etc. So I highly recommend, you know, there's a reason why she was able to attract over 1 million people to be looking at that video. There's a reason why she's helped hundreds of speakers to be able to influence through her speaking programs. And with this subtle shift to bring in the mystic elements as well, I think that there is going to be some amazing integration that comes forth, and you're going to be able to help a number of speakers shift in their business, which is what a lot of them need right now with COVID, just to be able to impact the world in different ways. And yes, I'm so glad that you were able to join me today. So thank you for that. I also wanted to offer a gift, as I typically do as well. So my gift today is for anyone who's listening who is intrigued to find out a little bit more about the Six Intelligences program that's coming up. There's actually a masterclass coming up that is every Thursday evening during August around the Six Intelligences. And it's really about working smarter, not harder. So if you're intrigued to find out what it's based around, which is personality science, you can actually text in. So if you have a pen handy, if you text in the word CODE, C-O-D-E, to this number, 403-668-9279, then you'll actually get an opportunity to discover your personality type in 90 seconds and get a 20-page report back detailing all about your personality type and preferred communication style. So that's my gift today. Again, that is CODE. If you can text the word CODE to 403-668-9279. And it's been a really intriguing session. I'm so glad that we connected again, Karen, and that you're doing so well with your new focus. And wishing you lots of luck. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. Take care, everyone.
Take care. Bye for now.